talking about success you had last year with the Canada 150, and I think what you're talking about bringing different cultures into the park was a result of that, because I think, and stand corrected, that your attendance went way up because of the reduced or no fee to go into the park. And so it was a great eye-opening experience for a lot of people. And I know this all comes back to budgets, but is there any, has there been any talk about taking that fee to get into the park, you know, for that season? And I know that you're really, budget-wise, I'm sure that that's impossible, but it really does open up a lot, especially, you know, you talk about day trippers, and that's a huge business from Halifax to be able to, or surrounding areas, be able to offer that to people. And, you know, there's social media's web pages that are just dedicated to day trippers. So I just wonder if that was part of the conversation. And do you have the ability within Kedji yourself to make that decision, or is that with federal level?
It's an excellent question. So just to unpack that a little bit, you're quite right that 2017 was huge for us in terms of visitation and connection. Our overall visitation went up by 68% compared to the last time we had accurate numbers, which was 2015. So from 2015 to 2017 was a 68% increase. Now, interestingly enough, our occupancy in 2018 was even a little bit higher than it was in 2017. So I think, you know, part of the overall national initiative around 2017 was to sort of build connection with people, and I think that worked. I think in some ways all of the promotion around connecting with Canada's national parks clear across the country was almost as valuable as the free entry for bringing people in, because we've seen an increase in occupancy even in 2018 over 2017. However, I would say, and this is my personal bias, I'm giving you the candid answer, I would love it if we could eliminate our entry fee, and if we had to roll some of that into other service fees, it would be great. The truth is we just do not have the ability to do that. That is a federally gazetted fee structure that's done by cabinet. So we don't have the ability to do that locally. And the argument is that even though it would work great for me and for Kedji Makujic and probably all of us in this room, the argument is it doesn't work that well in those national parks who don't have a lot of repeat royal visitation. So like the Banff or the Jasper or the Point Pelee or like those places, it doesn't work that well. So but I think that comes back to how do we still achieve some of those same kinds of benefits? And it is to do with things like partnerships, and it's to do with things like packaging. So, you know, you mentioned about some of the new, you know, the new demographics that are coming from Halifax. We've partnered, for example, with ISANS, with the Immigrant Settlement Association in Nova Scotia. And that's part of why we're seeing a huge increase. And in our partnership there, we're able to do special events where they get in without having to pay the entry fees and stuff like that. So we do have ways to do that creatively, even if we're not able to modify our structure.
One other thing, you know, we talked about day trippers, and both Councillor Kelly and myself have taken part in the green crabbing.
Oh, great. Yeah,
which
excellent.
Was an amazing experience. But just to note, in the past year, the costs for that have really gone way up. So it makes it for families, you know, unattainable for a lot of families, because you're looking at, $300 a day to go experience that. And when we went, I think it was, you know, very reasonable. So, you know, there's always the day tripper versus the budget. But, you know, always kind of keep that in mind. And I know that's mostly out of your control. But
I'll certainly take that back. And thank you for making that point. I will certainly take that back. I mean, I think one of the things in the overall pricing of national parks right now, there's a large discussion around value and perceived value. I mean, it's clear that Canada's national parks do not survive on revenue alone. I mean, we have massive science programs that would never be covered by what we take in at a gate or from a program. But there is a lot of discussion about perceived value, and it was felt that in a lot of national parks across the country that things were being charged too low a price point, and that Canadians at large were mostly undervaluing what the experience was compared to other sectors of the tourism economy. So in many cases, there has been a push to try to moderate or to find an equilibrium around an acceptable versus a perceived value price point. And I think in some places we've got that right, and I would say candidly that in some places we've probably got that wrong. And so I take your point absolutely about that.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Thank you, Jonathan. It's amazing, and I love everything I'm hearing about what you're doing at Kedji. I mean, the mindfulness around the interactions that you're having with North Queens and the public and your campers and your clients and everything is wonderful. And I think that this is, I can only see this as a huge benefit to North Queens. I think these relationships that you're building now are going to go forward well into the future. I'd also like to say I would never complain about your bathroom facilities at Kedji. I think it's just perfect. I mean, you're camping after all, right? I mean, this is almost going to turn it into like some sort of a semi-glamping experience.
Right.
But the designs look absolutely amazing. I was wondering how this is going to affect the Kedji Dark Sky, because that's within the Jeremy Bay campground, as well as the amphitheater.
Yeah.
So how are you going to deal with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for those of you who don't know, Kedjimukujik is designated as a dark sky preserve, and that's in recognition of the fact that just naturally there's really low levels of light pollution there, so it makes sky viewing one of the best places in the province to do so, actually one of the best places in Eastern North America. But part of that also is an obligation for Parks Canada to ensure that we ourselves don't create any sources of light pollution. So all of the structures, the buildings that are here, I'll just go back to the, I guess it's the, forgive me for a second. So all of these structures are going to be 100% dark sky compliant. So in our architectural spec now, and we're not the first to do this, you can specify to the architect that it's required that they're dark sky compliant. So for example, unlike our old buildings, which have large kind of large radius lights on the outside of them, these ones will have all recessed lights only. So they'll be well lit, because we need to do that for, you know, personal safety and security and so on and so forth. All that light will be contained and all that light will be pointing down. The quality of the light is important too, so it's not too much of a white light, it's a warm light, so we're doing that as well. And even because there's a lot of glass and glazing on the front of these buildings to keep them light and keep our power costs down, it also means that what we use for light fixtures inside is important, because you don't want to have a light wash from inside spreading out and creating more light pollution as well. So even all of our interior lighting is actually all recessed dark sky compliant lighting as well.
So did you almost say that this improvement will actually improve your dark sky?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. When you look at our dark sky obligations right now, we do fairly well, except for campground infrastructure, because they've got those big sodium vapor lamps that radiate lots of light through the campground. This will be a marked improvement in our ability to
reduce
light pollution.
So how will this affect the access to the dark sky? Is that, because it's within the campground, but I know it's on the other side, but...
Yeah, so the dark sky viewing observation area will be closed for 2020, because it's right within the campground. So what we will do in that year is it will kind of relocate our events and our night sky viewing programs, and also the ability for people to come and set up their own telescopes. We'll move that down to the Mayor McKedge area.
Okay.
So from that main Mayor McKedge beach, you have a really expansive view to the night sky, and so we'll just shift our programming to that location.
Very awesome. That's great.
Yeah. Great, thank you.
Are there any other councillors that would like to do a follow-up question? Well, thank you, Jonathan, for the presentation. It's been very beneficial. We do understand that there is the potential of some negative impacts to North Queens. The shining light in all of this is that the park will be greatly improved going forward with all of these updates, and that we should all be thankful for. If the region can be supportive in your efforts to mitigate these impacts, we'd be very pleased to assist.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for the time. Again, I apologize for the schedule snafu this morning, but I thank you for your questions and discussion. And I would say, you know, already the conversations from you, Mr. Mayor, and from councillors has been really beneficial to us thinking about how to work with local communities about this. So thank you.
Thank you. Continue to work through the agenda. Moving down to 6.0, approval of minutes. 6.1, regular council minutes, October 23rd, 2018. Are there any errors or omissions in those minutes as circulated? Hearing none, a motion to approve those minutes would be in order. Moved by Councilor McLeod, seconded by Councilor Frelick. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Those contrary? Those absent? Thank you.
It is.
Under 7.0, dangerous or unsightly premises, we have nothing to bring forward today. Under 8.0, economic development, we have nothing to bring forward today. Under corporate services, 9.0, we have 9.1, operational policy 66, appointment of traffic authority. Who would like to take the lead on this one? Expenses. This is a issue that was deferred from the last meeting. There was to be some direction provided at this meeting as to what was expected to be changed in this policy. So the floor is now open to councillors for discussion of what you would like amended in this policy.
I'm kind of drawing a blank on this from the last council meeting. What were the challenges? I understand Councillor Johnson had some questions, which are valid, but could we just have a reminder of what they
I would ask the CAO if he could provide you with anything.
Sure. So the suggestion was made by Councillor Johnson that there'd be an appeal process.
Right.
And so at the last meeting, there's discussion around who was the appropriate body for that appeal to go to, and at that time council deferred it to give them some time to reflect on that, to come back to this meeting to have a discussion over who should that appeal body be.
Councilor Ramsey?
I know we had talked before, and I didn't know if this was the time, and I guess maybe we should discuss it anyway. Councilor Johnson had brought up before about you have a larger electoral district, is that rather than somebody who's got a mile or two to travel, the time's very short. place I want to get to, but should there be something put in place to help alleviate that, or is that the cost that's associated with our Freedom Race?
As far as travel costs within the constituent district, the councillors, it was previously part of the one-third non-taxable benefit provided to councillors. In order to maintain that status, council decided to increase the remuneration to council on the basis of the tax that we'll be paying as a result of that federal action. We're basically in a neutral position now as to where we were back then.
Absolutely.
So we've maintained the status quo. I think the only stumbling block that I'm remembering from the last meeting was the fact that there was a discussion as to who would be looking at deliberating under the appeal as to who that would be and how that would be structured. So I think that's the bigger challenge that is left with this policy at this point. Anyone have any thoughts? It was discussed that where the CAO and myself do approve the expenses, if there is a appeal, it likely should not be the two of us that are dealing with the appeal, because we've already deemed it to be a legitimate expense. So it needs to be an impartial decision by an appeal committee if one is added to this policy. If you're happy with the policy, then we continue. If you want to appoint an appeal portion being added to this policy, 7, then certainly that's a discussion for today. Councilor Johnson?
But as this exists today, there's still no appeal process other than coming
Correct.
In front of open council and talking to the person who ultimately has rejected your submission for expense remuneration.
That's correct.
I didn't know it was our job to come back with a recommendation. I thought the staff was going to come to us with a recommendation of what that appeal process may look like.
And that can be your directive today, if you so wish. I mean, it's open for discussion and direction.
I understand that this only applies to probably two people within here, but it's depending on what you submit as what I would personally feel as a justifiable expense that has been turned down. Or rejected, I guess. But Councillor Fancy said, your expenses are much more when you're expected to be part of a council of the whole and have to travel 100 kilometers round trip to participate in, events that predominantly happen in South Wayne. And if something that gets, denied, like New Year's Day levy, and if those things were denied, but they weren't challenged at the time, that's the process I'm saying that should be in place, that we have a forum by which to talk to somebody who can overrule or at least make a recommendation back that this isn't a fair and level playing field, as far as I'm concerned. So that process, the process is absent. I didn't know it was for me to go away with homework. I understood the staff was going to come back to this meeting with a recommendation, thus the blank wall.
My understanding was that from the last meeting was council wanted to deliberate on this, on the idea of what the appeal process looks like. So there is already a mechanism in here for mileage if anybody travels outside their district for mileage. There is a provision for 50 kilometers within their district if you're within a larger district. If council wants to change that to a lower number, that's a council decision, not a staff decision. The remuneration was changed to right now councillors get one-third tax free. Your salary has been changed effective January 1st to make you whole essentially, so you're not losing any benefit from that. The issue around this came about expenses that were outside of travel, and so it applies to all 8 members of council and not just to 1 or 2 members of council. And the issue becomes, what is an eligible expense? And so I wasn't here for the last New Year's levy, but if it's an eligible expense that all 8 members of council get to travel for the New Year's levy, and in Liverpool, if there's one in Caledonia, all 8 get to travel for the one in Caledonia, and people can put in expenses for all that. If councillor is having a meeting in their district, are all the other seven members of council eligible to attend and put in for mileage claims or meal claims, whatever it is? And so that's a bigger discussion about what is appropriate for someone as a mandatory requirement attendance, and what is an optional attendance, and if someone wishes to go on their own, then they go on their own accord and their own budget at the time. So that's the meat of this issue today.
Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Do you currently have a set criteria that you accept or reject those on, like as the final say in expenses, or is this subjective?
Currently subjective.
Right. Is there a possibility that maybe that's the way we need to go, not in an appeals process, but a set criteria so that every council member actually knows what the rules are, and then they can make their decision accordingly, and then there is no need for appeal because everybody understands ahead of time, you know, what the implications are by attending or not attending, or for whatever that expense may be. That
7.4 in the policy outlines those issues. Outside of those issues, they're necessarily not reversed.
Can you read that 7.4 of the policy, please?
I will do that. 7.4 in travel. Council members and staff shall be reimbursed for expenses incurred according to this policy when traveling to attend the following as authorized by council or chief administrative officer. A. Meetings of Union of Nova Scotia Municipalities and Association of Municipal Administrators, Nova Scotia. B. Meetings of committees, boards, or other agencies for which the person is appointed by council and authorized by the chief administrative officer. C. Attendance at conferences or workshops for council or the chief administrative officer has approved such attendance in advance. D. Attendance at any meeting or function with a council member or staff member has been officially invited as part of their role as a member of council or administration, and for which they will play a designated role during the meeting or function. E. Meetings of council.
So do we need to expand on that? Does that cover everything for you, Gil?
Well, 7.4D is wide open. Let's say, for instance, the cat has gone out, but the information session on Cook Aquaculture or the fish farm, I'm sitting here to make a decision on behalf of the residents of Queens. I have no fish farm in North Queens, you know. But at the end of the day, I certainly would be want to be part of that public engagement session to learn more for when I make a vote around this table. No different than when we talk to the Trestle Trail. However, where does that fit under the subjective side of 7.4D? Is it covered or isn't it? You know, I'm going to come regardless, but at the end of the day, I can burn through my 30% in a month. You know, that's where the playing field, I don't care if it's level or not, that doesn't matter to me. I'm not saying I'm going to move to Liverpool where I can be part and parcel of more engagement. All I'm saying is you, it is for everybody, but is it level for everybody? Absolutely not. But that's part and parcel of what I put on. I just like to know up front, you know, I need to get a whole lot more, I guess, judging as to what I participate in, but boy, if it has something to do with sending a letter regarding fish farming or spending $1 million on the Trestle Trail Bridge, I want to be informed firsthand, not second and third hand and through emails, as to what I sit here and vote on for the taxpayer. That's where I say the subjective part. Maybe it's just played out right up front. Maybe you're supposed to ask these questions up front. You're supposed to ask permission to attend or something like that. I don't know. That process is missing.
I was just thinking of, it sounds like possibly a pre-approval. So maybe what we do is, yeah, can we have staff look at this and come back with a tentative list of criteria that may be more specific to this types of events that Councillor Johnson is speaking about, or some sort of a process of pre-approval so that everybody does understand whether this would be covered or not, and then they can make their decision on attendance accordingly.
Does Section C address that presently? Section C says, attendance at conferences or workshops where council or the chief administrative officer has approved such attendance in advance.
Yeah, but that doesn't, that's more or less when you talk about conferences and meetings, for NSFM, and everybody's clear on that.
That's not NSFM.
No.
That's conferences or workshops. So do you expand that to have meetings as well included in that line? I'm just putting it out there as a potential solution. I mean, counselors can bring forward
yeah.
what they feel on this issue, but
yeah.
the end result is we want something that works for all.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the goal. So staff is looking for that direction. Councillor Fancy.
I think you bring forth a very good point because you could go all over the map of what's good, what's bad, what's everything. But if you were to be able to put in just meetings, so meetings as such, is this beneficial? Is it, we need everybody here? Are we voting on the Trestle Trail Bridge? Are we looking at the Trestle Trail Bridge? Are we looking at a swimming pool? And if we're looking at, we want all the councillors to be there, so then you could be looked at as being part of, we need all of our councillors here. And so maybe just the word meeting in there, along with, but then in turn give, right now you don't have the right, well, I'm not going to say the right, but you shouldn't be approving some meeting when it's not even in there saying meetings, other than meetings that we're either like with provincial or anything that we're either part of or being involved in.
Any other councillor have a comment on this issue? Councillor McLeod?
I agree, pardon me, I agree that C should just insert or meetings, and that would clear up that as long as you get your authorization from the CEO.
Any other comments? CAO, does that
explain? And just from my perspective, it doesn't change what exists here, what exists today. And so if somebody requests permission to attend a meeting, my answer is going to be the same as it is today before that word's in there. And so
right.
the discussion was a need for an appeal process when someone disagrees with my interpretation or the mayor's interpretation of policy. That doesn't change my decisions I'll make because it's going to be the same. The same information is going to come forward and I'm going to make the same decision. And so when I reflect in my mind, is it a municipal decision? So we talk about agriculture. And so if people want to attend agriculture meetings, I think that's on your own accord because it's outside of our jurisdiction. So as of today, I would say that wouldn't be a legitimate expense, but you might agree that, well, you want to attend that meeting in case we do get lobbied, which we are, to
yeah.
give a positive or negative response to that.
Yeah.
And that's your own prerogative if you want to go there. But from my perspective and my responsibility for our taxpayers' money is it's not municipal jurisdiction, so I wouldn't support it. So even if you put in for a meeting for that, I'm still going to say no.
Yeah.
But the issue becomes if you disagree with that, then who do you appeal it to?
Right.
So by putting the word meetings in there, it gives the ability for pre-approval to meetings, which is not there. So that is one that would include meetings. The second part of this is the appeal process. So do councillors have any position on the appeal process and who would be the people it would go to and how it would work? Councillor Fancy.
I believe that we would need, like I said, you two are a part of that, and probably the deputy mayor should be part of that on some kind of an appeal process.
Well, I am presently one of the ones that would be approving, so an appeal process should not be operated by one of the participants in the earlier approval, but the deputy mayor would only be doing that in my absence. So having said that, Deputy Mayor Kelly, do you have a comment?
Well, the only other place to go is that it is a vote from council. Any appeals process would have to come to council. There's no other place for it to go. Guys are, you know, CAO is where it's at. There's nowhere else except a vote from council that would determine. So the appeals process would be that if any councillor feels that they have not been, you know, feels that it should be covered, the expense should be covered, then it's a vote of council to decide whether it should or not.
Any other comments of councillors?
If we so choose to have an appeals process.
CAO, would you like to comment on that at all?
Decision of council. If you wish to have it a council decision for an appeal process, we can prepare the proper wording and bring it back to the next meeting.
discussion that I'm hearing today is that we had meetings to 7.C, and are we comfortable asking the CAO to bring back a policy on appeal? Do I have consent? Yes, Councillor Johnson?
Well, the only thing when you broad brushes with just meetings, I think it's more important to have it, like public engagement sessions. That's the piece where we hear from the people who want to have our ear. If you're declaring a meeting, a public engagement session, I'm fine with all that. But a formal meeting, I don't know if it's tomato, tomato, I guess it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. At the end of the day, if I feel strongly about something, I'm not going to care about $30 or $40 to travel to it because I want to represent people properly. But, we can get lost back into the subjective thing around meetings, public engagement. And I think the public engagement thing is the really important part that I want to definitely be part of. I don't want to have to sit around meetings that doesn't accomplish anything. I want to hear from the public as to how they feel about issues. So.
And we can make this as complicated as we like, or we can simplify it. The end result is there's going to be a approval provided or not. And I think that's the issue that we're trying to deal with.
Sure.
So on the appeal process, Deputy Mayor.
Sorry, I want to understand this, but to the CAO, are we allowed to include things as in statements in the policy to the effect that it is public engagement that could have future effect on decisions of council, whether they are of municipal authority or not? Does that change the way you can approve or not approve or not?
I guess at the present time, public engagement is included in your one-third tax-free portion of your salary.
Correct.
So you're expected as a representative of your electoral district to have discussions with your residents. And whether you do it at Tim Hortons, or do it at the pharmacy, or whether you do it at the pharmacy, or whether you do it on the street corner, the post office in every community, that's a decision of council. The challenge becomes if you want to hold a public engagement meeting every month in your district, and you want to rent a hall, and you want to buy food, then that becomes a challenge.
Yeah.
Because then we're going to need $5,000-$10,000, because once one counselor gets approved for that, then all the counselors are then going to want to do it. And then it just become a revenue stream for a community facility or community hall? Is it a revenue stream for a local food establishment, or is it actually a public engagement? And so I don't want to be put in a position, or our staff don't want to be put in a position where we have to adjudicate on those. And so if you want to consult with your residents, we expect you to every day.
Yeah.
But should there be a cost necessarily associated with that? That's a decision of council, not a decision for staff.
That's why I'm saying public engagement that has an effect to come back to council to have a future consensus or vote or...
Nothing that you
that
talk about at Tim Hortons is going to come back here for a consensus vote for council.
No, exactly. That's why I'm saying, like when you bring up the fish farm, that public engagement, the fish farm, that could have future implications for a decision on council as to what kind of stand we take on that and what kind of conversations we have on that. So that's informing your, that becoming a part of that is informing yourself about how would you have that conversation with the rest of council about a consensus on a reaction from municipality, even though it's not in our authority at this particular time.
And that's the challenge, is who decides what's required to attend, recognizing is that issue going to become a council issue?
Right,
in the future?
Okay, I understand.
We have no way of knowing
right.
that. So like the Kedgy Park, those meetings will take place over the next 18 months.
Yeah.
And so are all members of council going to become engaged in those meetings and attend all those meetings and put in expense
right.
claims for those meetings? Because there may be a request come for council for some funding assistance for somebody, a community group to establish a campground out there.
Right.
Somebody could say that. That's why I'm attending for the next 18 months, because there might be a request to come to council for funding. We have no way of knowing. And that's
right.
the challenge of trying to fit some wording into the policy.
Right. Okay.
That there's so many dynamics out there that it's near impossible to do that.
Okay, I understand. So I do agree that the very least, an appeals process put built into this policy, an appeals process where it comes back to council, and council get to vote on that specific request that was denied, that means outside of the policy but should be covered because of extenuating circumstances or whatever is the present issue of the day.
Any other counselor have a comment? So I guess I'll ask for consensus. Is it the will of council to add the word meetings into 7C and additionally request that a appeal process be included within policy 7 for our consideration at the next council meeting? Council, have consensus? We have consensus. Is that clear enough, CAO?
Yes.
Thank you. So we will now move on to 9.3, councillor appointments. Who would like to take the lead on this? Councillor, Deputy Mayor Kelly.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the following committee appointments for a two-year term. Pension Committee, Councillor Kevin Hughes. Planning Advisory Committee, Councillor Raymond Fisk and Deputy Mayor Heather Kelly and Councillor Susan McLeod. Heritage Advisory Committee, Councillor Gilbert Johnson and Councillor Kevin Hughes. Region 6 Solid Waste Steering, Councillor Brian Frelick and an alternate, Councillor Jack Fancy. Social Regional School Board, Councillor Brian Frelick. Queens Community Health Board, Deputy Mayor Heather Kelly. Southwest Nova Biosphere, Councillor Gilbert Johnson, an alternate, Councillor Raymond Fisk. South Shore Action Coalition, Councillor Jack Fancy. Emergency Services Committee, Councillor Raymond Fisk and Councillor Gilbert Johnson.
Seconder for that? Councillor McLeod.
Did I say school board? I'm so sorry. South Shore Regional Library Board. Sorry about that.
So we've all heard the recommendation. It's background. Deputy Mayor Susan McLeod and incoming Deputy Mayor Councillor Kelly. We sat down together, had a discussion on how we would approach this. It was decided that we would contact all councillors, receive their input on the committees that they would like to set on. There has been some minor changes since the previous two-year appointments. We have placed councillors in those positions where they had wanted to be placed, and I think it's meeting the needs of existing councillors and their choices. That's the background. Is there any discussion on this motion? Councillor Fancy.
I was going to say it before I vote against it, is that I like the idea that, you know, a lot of ways we've been on committees and we've learned a lot through our committees and there's other things going on. But the secondary committees and things, we need to move around more, and that's what I put out to all councillors. So I don't want anybody to say that I didn't say anything after outside the council that I don't agree with that. I think we should be moving around more. We need to learn more. Staying on my committee, we don't get enough knowledge of other things.
Understood, Councillor. Any other councillor? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Excuse me, but I'm wondering what the policy is that surrounds the council appointments. Do we have a policy?
The policy that we have taken is that we have polled all councillors. We received their picks and priority.
Okay.
We've placed them according to those priorities, and we filled the slate.
We don't have a written policy around how councillors are appointed or how councillors attend meetings or the requirements of councillors when they do represent the Region of Queens at these
We do have a policy whereby the protocol of representatives that we have appointed will behave and what representation they will give on behalf of the Region of Queens. We do not have a policy whereby councillors that are on these committees will bring back a report, but we would encourage every councillor that attends a committee to bring back a report for the benefit of all councillors. And that's an expectation, and we discussed that at our meeting.
Yes.
We do have that expectation, and through this council meeting today, all councillors are aware that council does have an expectation of reports when councillors come back from meetings. So we'll look forward to having oral or written reports, and if a councillor so wishes to circulate those amongst council, rather than doing an open council, that's appropriate as well. That will be left to the choice of the council.
Would it be prudent to have a policy around that for the expectation of councillors when attending committee meetings on behalf of the region?
We could make up a policy for mostly everything.
I know.
But at this point, I would say that we should look forward to see how this works. If councillors are respective of the process and what's asked of them, it shouldn't become an issue. If it does, then we certainly can create a policy.
And I say that because that addresses what Councillor Fancy is actually talking about, in the fact that when we do attend meetings on behalf of the region, that one of the, we all can't be at every committee, and that's the whole point, to assign councillors to be at different meetings so that they can actually bring back a report. We should all know, I should know what's going on in the library without just talking to the councils on a regular basis. I should know what's going on in the biosphere, and you know, I should know what's going on all these committees, as well as myself reporting back on what's going on in the community health board. I mean, I think everybody is pretty much aware of what's going on in planning advisory committee, but I'm not so sure that everybody receives the minutes, other than updates regular, which is appreciated, the regular updates of planning advisory committee from Mike McLeod, the director. But I mean, I would hope that everybody from now on would take that stand. All the councillors would endeavor to keep all the councillors informed of what, even if it's just a circulating the minutes, so that we can all keep abreast of what's going on with all these councillors, which would make it easier for your alternatives, for one, to catch up with what's going on in those meetings, and also for the rest of us to be informed of your representation of the region of Waynes.
Thank you. Any other councillor? Very good question.
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? I'll let it read that 7 in favor, 1 opposed. It is passed. Thank you. Under 10.0 engineering works, we have nothing to bring forward today. Under 11.0 finance, we have results from tax tender closing on November 6, 2018. I would ask our director of finance, Jennifer Keating Hughley, to come forward if you would. Dealing with a number of tax tender bids. We will have a motion for each one, and it will probably bore some of us, but that is the protocol we will be dealing with, because there may be a different discussion on any individual property, and we need to allow for that. Before we go to the first motion, I would ask our Director of Finance if she has anything that she would like to add to this process.
So council should keep in mind that the Municipal Government Act does allow for our advertisement of tax sale tenders, and should council feel the price tendered is less than the taxes, interest and expenses, or that they consider the best priced offer to be inadequate, they can certainly not approve the acceptance of the offers. And we did actually receive 55 sealed tenders in regards to the properties that were advertised. You have a list of all of the sealed bids that were received, and therefore the highest tender for each. We had 7 properties on the list that we have unsightly premises files on, and so Kellyanne, our bylaw officer, also attended the sales, and she is willing to work with the successful bidders on each of these properties so that we have the opportunity as well to negotiate the cleanup of those properties. So to also help that department as well, to get some of the properties and some of the files off their list.
Thank you. So while you were stepping out, Councillor McLeod, I stated that we will deal with each one of these as a separate motion in case there's some issue with any individual property. So we will move on with the first motion. Councillor Lewis.
I move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give authorization to the Director of Finance to accept the sealed tax tender bid of $1,050 from Daniel Frost for the property owned by Timothy Coombs with an assessment account number of 0506-4988.
Seconded for that? Councilor Fitch? this. Any discussion on this motion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. The second motion. Who would like to take the lead? Councilor Muse.
I move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give authorization to the Director of Finance to accept the sealed tax tender bid of $21,111 from Daniel Frost for the property owned by Brenda and Elsworth Roach with the assessment account number of 0212087.
Seconded to that? Councilor Fisk? Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? The next motion, Councilor Meade.
I move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality to give authorization to the Director of Finance to accept the sealed tax tender bid of $1,008 from Alex Gallagher for the property owned by Ricky A. Hatt with an assessment account number of 0835-4596.
Seconded for that one. Councilor McLeod. Any discussion? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Next motion, Councilor Muse.
I move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give authorization to the Director of Finance to accept sealed tax tender bid of $7,000 from Eugene Burns for the property owned by Vivian Lowe and Gordon Lowe and Ross LeBlanc Jr. with the assessment account numbers of 0261055 and 1078237.
Seconded for that? Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Questions
in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Next motion, Councilor Mills.
I move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality to give authorization to the Director of Finance to accept the sealed tax tender bid of $782.60 from Brennan Handy for the property owned by Paul and Helen Hughes with the assessment account number of 01014226.
Seconded. Councilor Fraley. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. The next motion. Councilor Mills.
I move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give authorization to the Director of Finance to accept the sealed tax tender bid of $782.60 from Brennan Handy for the property owned by Jeffrey St. Clair Oikle with assessment account number of 0360754.
Seconded to that? Councilor Johnson?
If I may, that amount I believe should be $1,043.47. If you refer to the tax sale tender minutes,
yeah.
As a typo from the name previous.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what is it?
$1,043.47.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
So that motion will read $1,043 and how many cents?
47.
47 cents. Seconded for that motion? Deputy Mayor Kelly. Excuse me, we already have a second to that, did we not? And you're both in agreement with that dollar amount? Yes. So noted. Any discussion on this motion? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Unanimous, thank you. And the next motion? Councilor Mills.
I move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give authorization to the Director of Finance to accept a sealed tax tender bid of $1,000 from Heather Burton for the property earned by Darlene Nolan and Owen McGinnis with assessment account number of 0610-1941.
Seconded to that motion. Councilor Fisk, any discussion? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Motion. Councilor Mills.
I move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give authorization to the Director of Finance to accept the sealed tax tender of $2,200 from Heather Burton for the property owned by Darlene Nolan and Owen McGinnis with assessment account number 0460-6825.
Seconded for that motion. Councilor Philby? Any discussion? Ready for the motion? All those in favor? All voting in favor? Thank you, it is unanimous. Next one.
I move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give authorization to the Director of Finance to accept the sealed tax tender bid of $782.60 from Brennan Handy for the property owned by Wells Fargo Financial Corp with the assessment account number of 02483742.
Seconded for that motion. Deputy Mayor Kelly. Any discussion?
It is 782.
That one is 782.
Any discussion? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Next motion. Councilor Mews.
I move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give authorization to the Director of Finance to accept the sealed tax tender bid of $10,750 from Cameron Burke for the property owned by Michael F. Adib with the assessment account number of 0499-1516.
Seconded for that, Councilor Chris. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Thank you. Next motion. Councilor Mews.
I move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give authorization to the Director of Finance to accept the sealed tax tender bid of $1,011 from Roger and Connie Cunningham for the property owned by Jeanette and Kenneth Lee Mansfield with the assessment account number of 03010031.
Seconded for that. Councilor Johnson. Any discussion? You ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Next motion. Councilor Mews.
I move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give authorization to the Director of Finance to accept the sealed tax tender bid of $2,101 from Daniel Frost for the property owned by Donald A. Roberts with an assessment account number of 00842559.
Seconded for that. Councilor McLeod. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. Next motion. Councilor Mews.
I move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give authorization to the Director of Finance to accept a sealed tax tender bid of $521.73 from Brandon Andy for the property owned by Lynn Conway with assessment account number of 00412589.
Seconded for that. Councilor Fisk. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Next one.
Council. I move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give authorization to the Director of Finance to accept the sealed tax tender bid of $526 from Herbert Mansfield for the property owned by Robert and Darlene Wright with the assessment account number of 00312355.
Seconded for that. Councilor Fisk. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Thank you. Next motion. Councilor Mews.
I move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give authorization to the Director of Finance to accept the sealed tax tender bid of $400 from Janice Cunningham for the property owned by Timothy and Sandra Coombs with an assessment account number of 00927236.
Seconded for that motion. Councilor Fancy. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? Thank you. Next motion. Councilor Mews.
I move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give authorization to the Director of Finance to accept a sealed tax tender bid of $450 from Willard Hotman for the property owned by Milford Wolf with assessment account number of 049-88361.
Seconded for the motion. Councilor Fisk. Any discussion? You ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Next motion. Councilor Mews.
I move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give authorization to the Director of Finance to accept the sealed text tender of $700 from Matthew Conrad for the property earned by Albert E. Wynot with the assessment account number of 0491-8673.
Second move to that motion. Councilor Kerwin. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you, Ms. Hodge. Councilor Meeks.
I wasn't going to do it. I move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give authorization to the Director of Finance to accept the sealed tax tender bid of $2,100 from Gus Broma for the property owned by Robert C. Rayfuse with an assessment account number of 0387235 1.
Second to that motion, Councilor Chris. Any discussion? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
We have nothing today under 12.0 recreation and community facilities. Under 13.0 planning, we have 13.1 reappointment to planning advisory committee. Who would like to take the lead on this one? Deputy Mayor Kelly.
I recommend that Robert Ross be reappointed to the planning advisory committee as representative for District 1 for a term to expire on October 31st, 2020. And that Kim Williams be reappointed to the Planning Advisory Committee as representative for District 3 for a term to expire on October 31st, 2020. And that Dawn Kimball be reappointed to the Planning Advisory Committee as representative for District 7 for a term to expire on October 31st, 2020.
Seconded for that, Councilor Chris. Any discussion on this motion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Thank you. Moving on to 13.2, appointments to Heritage Advisory Committee. Who would like to take the lead on 13.2? Councilor Johnson?
I'd like to recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality reappoint Lisa Conway, Danielle Robertson, Linda Rayfuse, Linda Moulton, Peter Leslie, Chris Mansfield, Leslie Scott, and Councilor Hughes and myself to the Heritage Advisory Committee for a term to expire on October 31st, 2019.
Seconded to that motion. Councilor Fancy. Any discussion? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Any opinions? Thank you very much. Moving on to 14.0 reports. We have 14.1, Council Implementation Report as circulated. Are there any questions or comments on that report? CAO, do you have anything particular that you want to comment on? This provides the update of the status of the issues that are ongoing or completed. Any questions of councilors? So, we will move on to 14.2, the Nova Scotia Federation of Municipalities Fall Convention Report. Would there be a councillor who would like to bring forward an update on that convention this past week? Deputy Mayor Kelly.
Well, I'll just say I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I think there was a common theme there, the rethinking communities, and a lot of great information. And the one in particular, the keynote speaker, Charles Marone, I think that's how you pronounce his last name, the Curbside Chat. Wonderful comments about a presentation about rethinking our communities and how we look at them, and very simplistic as well. All about incremental increases. But what it does support for our community is the fact that we, you know, make neighborhoods a priority, let people know that they are not in decline. And, you know, I look at our downtown Liverpool and our Main Street, and, you know, the same thing is happening in our community that's happening in every community across North America, where you see, you know, Bristol Avenue with the supermarkets and big box stores and everything going to another place where people aren't walking. And now, like many other communities across North America, we're doing the right thing now by rethinking our downtown core in Liverpool by trying to address issues to revitalize that area. And I think that we're doing a lot of things so far in addressing those things, which was kind of nice to hear. It's about the facade program. These are incremental investments that are low risk yet high reward. The facade program, sidewalk splays, wreaths hanging, the wreaths on the policy for Region of Queens, the hanging baskets, new sidewalks, planters, mitigating the flood in the parking lot, and signage on Town Hall, and the roof over, little things. Did anybody ever notice the roof over the disabled access to the Astrid Theater? These are little things that go a long way, incremental increases in improving the quality of life. So I applaud the council and the Region of Queens for recognizing these things and moving forward on these things. You know, there was quite a few pertinent. I encourage anyone and the rest of the councillors that couldn't be at the conference. Charles Marone has a Facebook page called Strong Towns, and I've watched a number of his videos since I heard his presentation. He does a weekly podcast, I believe it's a weekly podcast, but there's a website as well. But lots of great information on simple ways to improve the quality of life that are incremental. So it doesn't matter. Like, he says things like he holds the government are held to a higher standard. We can't afford to make mistakes with taxpayers' money. Therefore, do those small things that, yes, they may fail, and it's okay to fail because it's good to try, but yet the incremental things that make a difference to quality of life of our residents, and that's what we're looking at. You know, one of the things that he said that really resonated with me was that if you, most people drive through towns at 20, 30, or 30, 40 kilometers an hour. I think he's American, so he was at 20, 30 miles an hour, and that's how you see a town. You know, walk through the towns. I mean, that's how towns were built a long time ago in the beginning, when people walked everywhere and you saw everything from street level and from a slower pace than we do now, where we drive through with cars. So that's how you notice these things in your community, and walk your community, talk to people. Not a lot about huge consultations, and again, with the smaller incremental increases in or incremental things that we do to our community. You don't need huge consultation with the public. You walk on the street, you talk to people, and find out what their issue is. Like when Councillor Frelick walks through town with the, well, he does on a regular basis, walk through the town with the wheelchairs from the manor.
Happy Wheelers.
Yeah, Happy Wheelers. And sees what their issues are, and you ask the people, what are your issues, and the little things that can be changed to improve the quality of life. And these are things that people will notice. So I encourage everyone to look up Charles Marone and look what he has to do. That was really one of the best ones, but I mean, I also went to Develop Nova Scotia. They're going to, and Jennifer Angel, lots to say about what's happening. Again, with the little things that change, she's from Develop Nova Scotia, which used to be the Halifax waterfront, I believe, or something like that, changed because they're now developing all of Nova Scotia, and they're now engaging, they've done projects at Lunenburg. They're responsible for the huge changes on the Halifax waterfront, historic properties, and the little things, the hammocks, which she said got more community response than some of their huge major projects that they're doing. So that was, that's what resonated with me as well, is it is the little things, taking an open space and putting a few chairs and tables in that space and not being concerned about somebody coming along and stealing them or throwing them in the harbor. But as soon as you put them out, all of a sudden people are attracted to that area to enjoy that space. For instance, you know, our waterfront as well. And I know that I've seen a report from our economic development, who's already in discussions with, or has been having discussions with Develop Nova Scotia. And I'm sure we'll have more with them through the internet project, which they're also responsible for, the internet fund, trust fund, that are going to start putting out tenders to try to mitigate the issues for rural internet in all of our communities. I think that, oh, if I just may let everybody know that the NSFM membership approved the resolutions, 5 resolutions, one for the capped assessment program, one for extended producer responsibility for printed paper and packaging, one for municipal modernization, one for municipal funding, and one for roads. I believe those were, correct me if I'm wrong, do you have that same, that list of 5?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, okay. And final, I'd just like to say I was most impressed on the last day by the youth engagement piece with the panel P4G, and it's a social enterprise. These are young people that created P4G as three of them, young people, I'd say young, in their 30s possibly, set up panel P4G as a social enterprise, which means that what they do is all about giving back to the community. And I was most impressed with them. They're a recruitment social enterprise, recruiting youth, attracting youth to Nova Scotia to live, work, and play here. And it's all about not attracting them just for jobs, but it's attracting them to a way of life, which I feel this is another common theme throughout, well, throughout what we talk about every day throughout Nova Scotia and in our community. Again, rethinking communities, making communities better. It's a way of life, and that's why people are going to move here, and that's what they're looking at attracting and doing things differently for that. So there was a couple of, you had to choose between the number of presentations to go to, and I think maybe Councillor Frelick and Councillor McLeod can address the ones that they went to. We shared which ones we went to, and the Mayor Dyke as well.
Councillor Frelick?
Well, I also would like to say it was a very interesting conference, and I love the theme of rebuilding your downtown and towns. One of the ones that I, like Heather, Councillor Deputy Mayor Kelly, I was very impressed by the keynote address. I think he had a lot to share, talking about developing on the outside of towns, which is in the reverse now, where we're actually going back to the basics of rebuilding our towns, which, you know, were done centuries ago. And I think there's a lot to be learned if we actually listen to what he's saying. So I encourage everyone, again, to do that. One of the workshops that I went to was the accessibility, which is always important for me. We've got lots of changes coming in the next few years with accessibility. I think we're on our way. I think we have lots to learn again. Every town does. But it was really interesting, and Jerry Post was the presenter, and he himself was in a wheelchair, and he came out of retirement to sit on that board. And certainly it would be worth having Mr. Post somewhere in Queens County to talk about the challenges that they face and some of the things that can be done to really simplify. You talk about people in wheelchairs. He's on that level, so he has a different perspective than most people. And it was interesting that lots of councillors in towns stood up and said that they've done the same as what we've done with the Happy Wheelers. They've actually taken wheelchairs and gone through town, and our CAO has joined us at one of these events and got a different perspective and how things can be changed. So that was really interesting. The other thing that was really good, lots of vendors or information stations around the lobbies. I got to talk to a lot of those. One of the ones, home warming, is a really important one, and it's always valuable to get the message out. But they had mentioned that they have this flyer, which they would love to have included in when they send tax bills out, They will provide the flyers and they will pay any additional postage that is required to get this out to everyone in your county. So I've got a copy of this, so I'll leave it with somebody. But yeah, lots of great information just in the lobby of in between sessions. So it's a very worthwhile.
Thank you, Councillor Bailey. Councillor McLeod.
Great, thanks, and good reports from both of you. And from my past experience attending some of these conferences, this is by far about one of the best ones I've been to, because it seems to touch to the grassroots of what we are as municipal leaders. And a lot of that was pertaining to dealing with our own communities and how each community is different, but how we can adopt other practices to kind of create, not create the wheel again, but to reinvent the wheel, but to come up with other ways of engaging communities more, engaging the public more in our decision making, as we experienced this morning in our council meeting. I did attend the one session on best practices for public safety, and that was basically dealing with the fear of safety in our communities and how we can be proactive and in more preventive measures. And unfortunately, our Crime Prevention Association has disbanded here in Queens. So I'm hoping that maybe there might be something that we might be able to do to encourage some kind of a group to or a group, or you know, maybe someone adopt that as a way of engaging the community more. I know that we pay and have the RCMP as our law enforcement, and there's a strong feeling that we do not communicate well enough with our local RCMPs, and other communities have had the same, whether they have their own police force or whether they have the RCMP. So I think engaging them more in our, bringing us up to speed, we haven't had them at council meetings for a long time. And I think public safety in that respect gives our general public more of an insight into the role that they actually have and how they can be more preventive and educate our public more on ways that we can also assist them in their endeavors to do that. Also, there were sessions on three communities. One was including the Bridgewater area that talked about the transit system, and these were sessions called Shared Secrets on Economic Development. So these were three communities. There was one called Startup Port Hawkesbury, private, the Bridgewater Transit System, and also Annapolis Royal. And these are municipalities or towns that have had projects that have been very successful, and they've shared that with us and can give us an idea of what we might be able to do to be more visible and to be able to provide more increased programs for our community. And these are physical structures too as well. And one was the amphitheater project in Annapolis. And if anybody is in Annapolis Royal and takes a drive there, they should check that out. And I didn't know it even existed until we saw this session. And it's very natural, it's on the waterfront, and it's something that I think other communities could actually do that on a smaller scale. And it's something that, you know, it's a natural way of providing an outdoor theater for general use, other than just the bricks and mortar that we often go to see things in. So, but everything else was really well attended. And the sessions with the all the vendors there is always good. We brought back information that products and services that our staff might be able to pursue a little bit, so that you know they can certainly check out some things that might be a benefit to us for use.
Thank you, Councillor McLeod. The three of you have covered the majority of the activities at the convention. I very quickly just want to touch on the resolutions, because I think they're the meat of the convention that gets passed on from the Nova Scotia Federation of Municipalities to the province of Nova Scotia for consideration. And the first one I have here on my list is the CAP program, CAP assessment program. And many of you will realize that when a house is sold, the new purchaser does not have the old CAP benefit of reduced taxation. It starts at that point and moves forward. There are a number of municipalities who want to remove the CAP, some who do not want to remove the CAP, and the province has been reluctant to do that. The direction taken by NSFM, the Nova Scotia Federation of Municipalities, is to allow pilot projects to occur on CAP removal in various municipalities throughout Nova Scotia, rather than making a decision it's all going to be dropped or it's all going to be retained. So this is going to be a multiple-year issue that's being dealt with, and we have no idea what the province will determine when they receive that resolution, but that is one that is there. The other one is the Extended Producer Responsibility, EPR. It's basically producers that build cereal boxes pay maybe one-thousandth of a penny into a fund, which is then distributed to provinces that are participating in the EPR program. It pays for some of the recycling costs. The resolution asks for a full EPR model in Nova Scotia, and the province, of course, is the one that will make that final determination. One part of that resolution caught my attention. It said that the province be asked to provide a transition program to assist those municipalities who are left with redundant facilities. And the region of Queens does have a recycling facility at the 8 Mile. We do not actually know whether there will be a number of redundant facilities in Nova Scotia, whether there'll be one, how that will be handled. So I think the region of Queens needs to remain vigilant on that issue, because we don't want to be negatively impacted any more than is required under this situation. So it'll be on our radar to follow up. Municipal funding was another resolution. They asked that the province freeze the mandatory education payments from municipalities at the 2017 level. We in the region of Queens contribute approximately $2.8 million to the education for schools and such every year. We have no control over that. We get the bill, we have to pay. There was a request to the province to increase its annual funding for municipal equalization. One, to request the province to cost share 50-50% in all municipal projects required to comply with the Accessibility Act, and a 30% share request of tax revenue pertaining to cannabis sales. So there's a large request for funding to municipalities. Any money we receive would be a bonus to the region of Queens. Municipal modernization. The province was asked to provide human, material, and financial resources in the 2019 budget to those municipalities willing to collaborate based on the specific needs of those requesting assistance. And this results from many municipal units that are having financial and other issues, do not want to amalgamate like occurred in the region of Queens. So now the province is being asked to help provide specific funding to help them in the situation that they're in without looking at amalgamation. I don't know if it's a wise decision, but amalgamation here has seemed to have worked quite well. The other resolution was on roads, to ask the province to provide equitable funding to towns and municipalities responsible for former towns for shared arterial and collector roads in the 2019 budget. We have Route 3 that goes right through Liverpool. We also have J-class roads that were responsible for 47 kilometers of snow plowing and salting and sanding at a 50% cost. We write a check to the province of Nova Scotia for those 47 kilometers at the tune of $250,000 per year. This is asking that the province increase its budget, and that would of course reduce our expense. And that the Joint Provincial Municipal Committee on Roads develop a proposed new funding agreement on the roads. So all of these are issues that impact the region of Queens. They impact our revenue stream. They impact benefits to taxpayers, or perhaps the other way. So we're dealing with these items at resolutions. We had to pick 5 out of 10. We did the best we could. It's a majority vote. And many of these resolutions have an upside to the region of Queens. We will have to keep an eye on these issues as we roll forward. Councilor Fraley?
You had mentioned the one of the main topics was cannabis and bringing the profits back into Nova Scotia. And I believe that was included in municipal funding.
It was added to the municipal funding that we receive a 30% share of the tax funding. There may have been some other small tweaks to that.
Right. But the numbers were pretty phenomenal, $12 million projected.
Yes.
So
and possibly no revenue stream for the first 2 years, because they're buying equipment for roadside monitoring and such. But and training is a huge issue. To train RCMP, it's a 2-week course, and it's out of the province. So there is a huge expense to that, and it was my understanding that Ottawa was going to take some of the revenue tax to fund those expenses. but if either of the three of you have comments on that, by all means.
I think the potential was there for that to eventually trickle back to Nova Scotia. That's why it made the list, so, and it was its own separate item, and it got
it was folded into one of the five.
Yeah, so I think it's worthy to discuss.
Yeah, no, important point.
I think at the end of the day, then they removed the percentage through that process. It was removed, it was just substantial, they left it at substantial because they didn't want to limit ourselves to what was actually available. It was, whether it was through the taxes or whether it was through, I think they did through the taxes and not through the revenue, I think. The revenue profit stream was left out of it, but.
That was a painful process of amendments and amendments to the amendments more than four times. And I'll be honest with you, until we see the exact resolution from NSFM, which will be coming this week, we won't have the exact wording. But it is a good point that when it does actually turn into a revenue stream, we should share municipalities as well.
Yeah.
Councilor McLeod?
Just a note that I contacted NSFM, and they will have this electronic version of all these sessions that we can download in about a week or so. They'll let us know if we want to refresh ourselves on some of this.
Thank you. So that was the update report on NSFM, and I thank you all for sharing that. That brings us down to 15.0, the in-camera items. At this point, we're intending to come back and do 16.0, the economic development strategy, at 1 p.m. We will have to do our in-camera prior to that.
Yeah.
At this point, it would be fitting to have a motion to move into in-camera.
Could I just clarify then? We're breaking now to 1 o'clock and then coming back for in-camera?
No, we'll have the in-camera now.
Okay,
and we'll come
you.
Back at 1 for the economic development strategy. A motion to go in-camera. Moved by Councilor McLeod, seconded by Councilor Kelly. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion?